Stay tuned for breaking news on What's Bugging Me. On this special edition, is President Trump about to be arrested? Or is somebody just playing games with us? Conservative commentator John Cardillo joins us with an inside scoop on what's really going on.
Well, I was told pressure from above. So if I had to guess, just doing this a long time, Governor Kathy Hochul, New York State Attorney General Letitia James, another lunatic, and probably the Biden administration.
You know what, guys? You got to wonder whether the powers that be will ever let Donald Trump run for office, which makes his supporters love him all the more. Cue guitars. Hello, my friends, and thanks for tapping into this special breaking news edition of What's Bugging Me, episode 16 on the trials and travails of Trump. Remember to like us, really like us, wherever you listen to this podcast. And please subscribe to the Ricochet YouTube channel because you might see that I have a face made for radio. So Donald Trump, is he really going to be arrested? It would be a perp walk for the ages. It is an outrage that this is even a possibility, and it makes us look bad to the rest of the world. We now are no better than Venezuela. The New York district attorney wants to jail Trump for a hush money payoff to a porn star before he ever was president. The DA is relying on a convicted felon and disgraced lawyer as a star witness. It is transparently political, clearly aimed at derailing Trump's run for the presidency, and it is the umpteenth time we have heard Trump haters say he's done, he's finished, he's going to be behind bars. Trump is always three steps ahead of them. We had this FBI search of his mansion for classified documents and the prosecution for false loan statements on loans he paid back in full, and two impeachments and the Russiagate plot to undermine his presidency. Even now, this latest silly threat from the New York district attorney is only one of several ongoing efforts to hurt the former president. We will no doubt see more in coming months. Why can't the Democrats just play fair and beat him fair and square at the polls? If they really believed in the Biden victory in 2020, they wouldn't be trying so hard to stop Donald Trump from running for office. So now the mystery begins. If Donald Trump goes free and isn't arrested, was it just because the district attorney yielded to protests? Or was it because Donald Trump was playing games? That is the next angle the mainstream media will take, that Trump made it up to make himself a victim and a martyr and the subject of sympathy. Or did Trump do this so that he could call out Ron DeSantis for a lack of loyalty and support? Our next guest has an inside view on a lot of this, and he says this arrest threat is real and an even bigger threat is coming. John Cardillo is a former New York City cop, an ex-radio host, former Newsmax anchor, and he joins us next. Prepare for fireballs.
This is Stephen Hayward of the Powerline blog and the Powerline show on Ricochet, inviting you to tune in each weekend to our three whiskey happy hour, where John, you and I, along with the pseudonymous Lucretia, Powerline's international woman of mystery, break down the week's top stories and continue our long-running arguments about first principles, and also critique the best whiskeys available in the world. That's Powerline's 3 Whiskey Happy Hour, hosted by Ricochet, and found on all of your favorite podcast platforms.
All right, let's talk more about this whole President Trump thing going on here with a quite knowledgeable source on the matter, John Cardillo, the former NYPD professional. He's a conservative commentator. He anchored a show for Newsmax a few years ago, and I was lucky to go on there and do a little interview with him there. And he's also in private equity. So, John, thanks so much for being with us.
No, Dennis, it's great. I'm glad we had a good time when you did my show back then. So this is long overdue.
All right. So we've been on Trump Watch, and as you and I are speaking, he has not yet been arrested. And now I'm seeing a shift where a lot in the media are beginning to think, did he make this whole thing up just to bring attention on himself? So tell us, first of all, do you think that he will be arrested anytime soon for anything?
I did a couple of, well, let's talk about New York City, because I personally think he has a more perilous situation in Georgia that's getting less attention and probably should be getting more. So there's a very real case happening in New York City. If you've been following my Twitter, it's at John Cardillo there. I've been speaking to sources in New York law enforcement, both in the NYPD and the DA's office. So it's important to understand the NYPD wouldn't be the agency that would make an arrest. The district attorney's office has what's called DA's squad detectives. They have different credentials. They're police officers. They have the exact same police powers as a New York City detective, but the agency they fall under is the DA's office. So they're called the DA's squad. These people want nothing to do with this. They know this is bogus nonsense. They're struggling. They're contorting themselves in Alvin Bragg, Manhattan DA's office, to find a charge in the New York State penal law that sticks. That this would be at best an FEC violation if they're saying, well, he paid Stormy Daniels hush money but concealed it as a legal payment to have his campaign benefit and not deal with fallout. He concealed blah blah blah.
So that really, I would pay that much money if I were a billionaire just to have my wife not find out. So that's kind of a
right, John. Well, Dennis, yeah, and here's the bigger problem. What they're really doing, and I don't understand why every lawyer in New York isn't screaming from the rooftops. They're criminalizing settlements and non-disclosure agreements, things lawyers around the world do millions of times a day collectively. So, yes, there's a very real prosecution happening. There is tremendous chaos in the Manhattan DA's office. The rank and file are pressuring the DA not to take this forward to a grand jury, because if he takes to a grand jury, Dennis, and they hand down an indictment, then the DA is locked in. But there's political pressure from above to do this as a matter of weaponization and political persecution.
This pressure from above, John, it comes from whom?
Well, I was told pressure from above. So if I had to guess, just doing this a long time, Governor Kathy Hochul, New York State Attorney General Letitia James, another lunatic, and probably the Biden administration. You know, they coordinate. It's not uncommon for feds and local law enforcement to coordinate. It happens all the time. Right. But in terms of an arrest, I'm now 60-40. Yes. A couple of days ago, I was 85-15. Yes. I think the pressure on Bragg is starting to wear him down a bit.
If the arrest doesn't happen, you think it's more because of the pressure rather than because maybe he was never really truly contemplating arrest? Are you sure from the people you talked to that he was indeed contemplating moving forward with an arrest?
Yeah, it's not really Alvin Bragg. The more important player in all this is his number two, his deputy, a woman named Meg Reiss, R-E-I-S-S. She's a committed Soros radical. She's driving this. Bragg is kind of an incompetent, sort of stupid figurehead in that office. She's driving it alongside Matthew Colangelo, who came out of DOJ. He worked on the Trump prosecutions at DOJ, or the ones that never happened. And he went over to the Manhattan DA's office to pick up the baton over there. So those are the two to watch. Alvin Bragg is the figurehead, but Meg Reiss and Colangelo are really the ones driving this against the will of much of the office. So like I said, there's a lot of chaos and turmoil over there now.
All right, John Cardillo, a former New York City cop. So that is, now we're told, the DA's own police force. They're kind of against this and thinking this is bogus. Now, what are the people inside, you think, the New York City police force thinking about this?
Well, they hate it. They hate it because Donald Trump was amazing to the men and women of the NYPD for decades. And I forget when he was president, for decades and decades and decades, very charitable, inviting
a champion.
Yeah. But just little things that no one ever knew about, you know, getting them in a snowstorm or rainstorm off the street, inviting them into Trump Tower, making sure they had coffee and lunch and things like that. I mean, he's been very generous with the police widows and orphans fund and things like that, with the families of slain police officers, 9/11 responders. So the NYPD has had a longstanding love affair, well-deserved, with Donald Trump and him with them.
We don't hear about that a lot, do we, John? We don't hear about that very much, do we?
No, you don't. And because he never wanted that. He was a good friend of mine. One of my former partners did some security work for him and was treated like gold. He loved working for Trump and the Trump family. And
it's so, one of the few things he doesn't brag about, really, because he's a showman. But I love that when it comes to some of this do-gooder stuff, he doesn't brag about it. He keeps that down. You don't hear about it. That also happened at the funeral for the Diamond and Spice was,
Diamond and Silk.
Right. He made an appearance there and she told some of those stories that no one had heard before. All right. So the New York City Police Department hated too. You think the odds have gone down from 85% down to maybe, 60% that he'll get arrested. It is, of course, we've gone beyond the sale as it's known, because we haven't even yet said that this would be scandalous. This would be terrible for America. This is the wrong thing to do. How dare the state authorities contemplate this? But you know what, John Cardillo? I mean, it seems like every aspect of many levels of government are going after Trump in every way they can. The federal Justice Department, the FBI and CIA when he was president, and probably afterward, I have no doubt that they are conducting surveillance and watching for any signs of Russian ties. And you kind of wonder, are they going to get him no matter what if he doesn't get arrested here? You said the Georgia case is something to worry about even more. You want to talk about that?
Well, yeah. So what they're alleging in Georgia is that when Trump called Raffensperger and Kemp and Raffensperger in particular, Brad Raffensperger, the Secretary of State, that what he was really doing was trying to exert political pressure and unfairly influence an election. Right. And he was weaponizing his office. It's all nonsense. Nothing at all wrong with a candidate calling a Secretary of State who oversees elections from their own party and saying, hey, you know, try to find me some votes. That's not corrupt. Anybody with half a brain knows that he's not talking about manufacturing votes. That he's saying, hey, there's a lot of irregularities around Atlanta, a lot of irregularities. You guys need to do your job, because if you do your job, which I don't believe the Georgia authorities did, you're probably going to find fraud and you're probably going to find legitimate votes cast for me that were not counted. There's nothing illegal about that. The context of it isn't even remotely illegal.
It's almost a fearfulness, afraid of his persuasions. But here's a guy also, if I may interject, John, forgive me. Here's a guy who got impeached for a phone call, which is, listen, man, you want to look into this. This guy's always doing this. This is the way he's operated as a businessman for 40 years. And so, you know, he ends up thinking, well, I called him, I talked to him. But meanwhile, people saying, dun, 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 this is, you know, terrifying of this guy.
Well, how stupid is that, Dennis? I mean, how preposterously vile. He was impeached for talking to Zelensky, who is now celebrated by the Democrats as the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Right.
I mean, Zelensky does no wrong. He comes in his dumb little sweater and he gets a standing ovation, and our morons in Congress hang a Ukrainian flag over the American flag. But when Trump spoke to him, he was a terrible gangster and it was only a corrupt phone call. It's so disgraceful. It makes you want to spit on Washington, D.C. It really does.
Liking that. Okay. Now, the Georgia case, and why is it could be more of a threat to Trump, legally speaking? Talk about that if you like.
Well, because what they're able to do in Georgia is blatantly charge a felony, right? I mean, it's also blatant weaponization and persecution. But in the context in which they're investigating and presumably presenting to a grand jury, it's a felony. The New York case is a contortion. It should be less than a speeding ticket, but it should be nothing. They'll never be able to turn that one into a felony. And, you know, misdemeanors in New York, they don't even prosecute armed robberies. But in Georgia, you've got a very committed prosecutor. You've got a radical jury pool, grand jury pool and trial jury pool, every bit as bad as, if not worse than New York around Atlanta, Fulton County. And the charge would be a felony. Right. Now, the other thing that's bothering me is Governor Ron DeSantis is being universally slammed for making a statement. This is a guy who's already removed the Soros-funded prosecutor and is investigating another. Why no pressure on Brian Kemp in Georgia to intervene or remove this Soros-funded prosecutor? Too many eyes are worried about who may or may not jump in as a political candidate. And I think Trump's consultants are doing him a tremendous disservice. No one is paying attention to Georgia, which I think is more perilous.
So we've got two rails here I want to pursue, Georgia and Governor DeSantis, because, you know, it sounds like many conservatives are kind of turning on Governor DeSantis for his rather meek statement regarding the prospects of a Trump arrest, saying he's too busy dealing with his own situation and kind of missing the chance to be more statesmanlike. I mean, here's a guy who's already making some campaign visits to Iowa, things like that. He's clearly going to run. How much damage do you think he came from this lack of passionate response?
None. Twitter is not the real world. But look, independents and non-party affiliateds want no more Trump legal drama in their lives. They're not paying attention to this. You've got a ton of bot accounts, automated accounts on Twitter, acting as if DeSantis had this massive faux pas, but he didn't. Look, and it's being taken out of context. It's being selectively edited by pro-Trump or Trump's paid consultants.
Right.
What DeSantis said was, I thought, professional and appropriate and all he could say. DeSantis said he's not getting involved because there's nothing to get involved in. I'm paraphrasing. And he's right. There is no extra. The only power DeSantis would have here is to order an investigation. Were there an extradition fight? If Trump said, I'm a Florida resident, I'm not leaving Florida, and the state of New York said, we've got an extradition warrant, DeSantis could then say, nope, I want to investigate the investigation. I want to make sure these are valid charges. That's all he can do.
The thing is, DeSantis chose to dive down into the technicalities instead of playing the statesman. And he could have simply said what's very clear and obvious. You don't go after arresting a former president who's going to clearly be running again. You don't use the government apparatus at the state or federal level to do that. It's simply wrong. This is politically motivated. All those other details don't chose not to really say that, right? Are you more DeSantis than Trump?
No, well, I like DeSantis, but DeSantis isn't a candidate, right? But here's what's bothering me. He did say that. People selectively edited the clip. They selectively edited the clip. DeSantis clearly said it was a weaponized, inappropriate prosecution. And he went as far to say that Alvin Bragg doesn't even prosecute real crime and that he's going back years over some hush money payment for political reasons and political persecution reasons. But here's the problem. DeSantis is not Trump's defense attorney. Trump just spent 4 months calling him Ron DeSanctimonious, Meatball Ron. Trump's PAC filed an ethics complaint against DeSantis last week for opining on national issues, and they're now upset he's not opining on national issues. So you can't have it both ways. You cannot have it both ways.
Sir, you're crushing him. You're defenestrating him. You're making such a great point. And that your point, John Cardillo, about his comments not being played up as much as they could have been and played another way. And these bots, it makes me wonder, well, is it Trump's organization who's making that happen that way? Is it the Democrats who are making it happen that way? You blame Trump's organization?
Well, I know it's Trump's organization because the same bots that come out and hit me whenever I'm critical of Trump, that I know the consultant they're driven by, a very young and experienced and quite incompetent guy. He's not even skilled enough to change the fake bot accounts he's using. So I'm seeing those accounts replicated in this new debate. So it's absolutely coming from these younger PAC-driven Trump consultants. And I think they're doing him a disservice. Trump would actually be better served getting rid of them and bringing in more serious people.
Okay, that's an interesting point. Just checking, if Trump is a Republican nominee, you will vote for him, support him?
1,000. Look, I like Donald Trump. I always did. People get mad at me because I critique his personnel problems. And it's the same thing his team says behind closed doors, no matter what they tell you. I know a lot of these people. But Trump's foreign policy was the best of my lifetime. I compare it to Secretariat in the 73 Belmont. You know, that like wasn't a close second, Dennis. I will vehemently support Donald Trump if he's the nominee. Absolutely, as vehemently as I did in 16 and 20.
Mark Levin, the great one, with his 14 million listeners out there and his Sunday show on Fox and all that, came out and issued a warning and said, you know, there's no reason for anybody to be trashing Governor Ron DeSantis. He's done a great job in Florida. And Mark does his show from Florida, at least one of his bunkers. And he says, and I will go after any candidate that criticizes DeSantis. And I think he was giving a warning to Trump and his camp, but I think Trump's not quite listening, is he?
No, he's not. I mean, and what did they expect, Dennis? I mean, you call the guy Ron DeSanctimonious, you call the guy Meatball Ron, you have people attack his wife because her middle name is actually Casey and she uses it saying, well, her real name is Jill. She's just like Jill Biden. They lie about him being a George Soros funded rhino, about Jeb Bush being an advisor. That's the dumbest one. Jeb Bush showed up at Ron DeSantis' inauguration because Jeb Bush is a former Republican governor of Florida. If Rick Scott wasn't in D.C., he would have been there. It's tradition. Barack Obama and Bill Clinton were at Trump's inauguration. It's such a stupid talking point. And I think Mark Levin is spot on with this. Trump's attacks on DeSantis have been pretty vicious and unwarranted. And now they're upset that DeSantis isn't throwing away his office, respect for his family, and acting as Trump's defense attorney. Maybe they should have thought of that before attacking the guy. But again, I saw nothing wrong with DeSantis' statement. I thought it was all he could do.
Okay. You know, I don't know. I actually wrote an op-ed for USA Today, and boy, they turned down a lot of stuff. They jumped on this one because I said in April of last year, you know, I love Trump. I voted for him twice. I've met him personally and spent, you know, 45 minutes or an hour with him. I like the man. He's very decent and gracious in person. He's much more interested in the people around him than he is in talking about himself. And yet, dude, Do you have to be so negative? Do you have to be so mean? Do you have to be the Gordon Ramsay, the abusive chef of politicians? I mean, does it have to be that way? Now, it's part of his charm. Sometimes it's really kind of fun and funny. But sometimes, John Cardillo, it is just so driven from a personality of hurt and insecurity and having to prove himself and be obnoxious his entire life. And he just can't stop being himself. And so you either love it or despise it, perhaps.
Listen, I always liked it, but you're 100% right about something. You know, knowing him and knowing his sons and having had lunch with him a few times at the clubs, he's the nicest guy in the world and the most gracious host. When you're at a table with him, that is, you nailed it. He's not talking about himself. He's pointing to people around the table, getting their opinions on issues, big and small. You know, talk to me about Russia and Ukraine down to, hey, how do you like the food? Is the food good or not? Like,
just asking questions about their family, about their parents, and what they did, you know?
Yeah,
and
very
he
nice.
Genuinely
guy.
Interested because he's a salesman. He's always been a salesman.
You know, somebody very close to him said something to me, somebody who knows him almost 40 years. They said, what America doesn't realize is that the guy on The Apprentice is not the guy in the Oval Office. The guy in the Oval Office is a really nice guy who wants to give everybody a second and third chance. And that's why he has personnel problems. He actually wants to see the best in people and cultivate them. And that's why he had the personnel problems he had, because he wouldn't have done to people what they did to him. And he couldn't get a handle on the fact that they were that sinister and that duplicitous. And that was a terrible miscalculation on his part.
You know, Richard Nixon famously said in his interviews years ago with David Frost, after he resigned from office on August 8th, 1974, I think it was, he said, my problem was I wasn't a good enough butcher. He should have chopped off the limbs, and instead he was loyal. He tried to save them in his view of everything that happened, and he paid a price for it. Well, do you think that that the deep state and law enforcement and at least the senior levels, are they going to let Trump really, truly run for office? Or are they going to stop it?
I don't think they'll ever stop. And the reason they won't stop, Dennis, is because our prosecutors don't weaponize as well. The only way to stop this, the only way, I worked in law enforcement a long time, been analyzing it as long. The only way to stop this is mutually assured destruction. I'm not talking about breaking the law. I'm saying where there is a legal and constitutional ground or grounds for a prosecution of a Democrat by a Republican prosecutor, we often don't prosecute because we're afraid it'll look political. The left does the opposite. They want it to look political, to strike fear into the hearts of their opponents. We need to become as brutal and as weaponized, where legal, to put the fear of God into them. It's the only way to stop it. Mutually assured destruction is the only way. Nothing else works.
You know, the Democrats and the liberals, they're living by the greater jerk theory. And maybe the Republicans need to start doing that even more so. Yeah. All right, we're doing a getting ready for a dismount here. John Cardillo, conservative commentator, former host at Newsmax, former radio guy, former NYPD police officer. Do you think DeSantis or Trump will be the Republican nominee? Because DeSantis is running.
You know, guy hasn't jumped in, so I'm not even going to wade into that. It is so early. I mean, look,
isn't it?
Do I think all indicators are that he's seriously considering a run? Of course. I mean, that's obvious, but it is way, way too early to tell who'll be the nominee. I do think if DeSantis jumps in, it'll be a two-horse race. Pompeo, Haley, they'll all be irrelevant. Way too early to tell who'll be the nominee.
Right. And if he did jump in, him or Trump?
Well, you know, look, if DeSantis were to jump in, if he jumped in, I'm probably going with DeSantis only because Trump is going to be almost 80 years old. He's got the same advisors around him. He had his team whip votes to keep Ronna McDaniel in power at the RNC. And I think she cost him 2020. The RNC ran a terrible campaign on his behalf. And so I'm ready for some new blood. I would, if DeSantis jumps in, I'd go with DeSantis.
Actually, a lot of people out there, I think, would love to see some new blood on both sides run for office. It's kind of hard to believe it's, you know, men whose age begins with an 8. I mean, the thing is, I left television when my age began with a 5 handle, found it really hard to get hired anywhere because in part of my age. And these guys are running for the most important office in the world. And no one's worried as much about their age, although some people are starting to worry in some respects. Although the contrast between Biden and Trump and vitality is just rather striking, isn't it? I mean, I think the guy's got some horses left.
Trump's in great shape. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, at that age, anything can happen, you know. So I'd just rather bring in some new blood with a new approach and who, look, one of the biggest things for me is Trump is still doubling down on vaccines. He's defending not firing Fauci. I just think we're going to replicate the personnel problems.
One problem Trump does have is an inability to admit mistakes and just kind of go the other way. I think he felt boxed in. He had no other choice. If he had denied COVID and said, look, we're just going to have to, you know, weather this out. We're not closing down the economy. They would have used that against him. But now once you've done that, once you've done the vaccines, I'd like to see him get a new vaccine. He probably shouldn't. But once you've done it, I guess you just have to continue to defend it. And that's another thing that could hurt him. Well, lots going to be happening. I do know one thing, though. I feel like he has every right to run. And I wish that the people who are going after him would decide to just fight him fair and square.
I agree.
Instead of and started preempting it and stopping him somehow through humiliation or behind bars, because it's just a ridiculous thing. John Cardillo, you've been fantastic. I really love some of those insights. Thanks for being with us.
Have Thanks, Dennis. Appreciate it. Take care.
Hey, folks, that was a fascinating interview with John Cardillo. I'm really happy he came on to do it. There's no parting shot today other than this. Please like us, really like us on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, and elsewhere. Subscribe to that Ricochet channel on YouTube so you can get a better look. And make sure you have a glorious day.
Ricochet. Join the conversation.